guys, welcome back to the Best Practice Show. My name is Kirk Barrett, and I'm your host, where we take a look at the best business practices from the best dental practices all over. And if you've been living under a rock, you don't know about this, but it's called membership plans or programs within a dental office. And today we're going to be talking about the evolution and how they've grown and become so popular. I'm just going to say this. If you don't have one, you're either not paying attention to what's going on in dentistry or you're being negligent. Is that even a phrase? I mean, you need to know what's going on. And so I got my good friend, Megan Lohman from Plan Forward today. And we're going to be talking about how this whole process has evolved in dentistry and why it's such an important component to the future of fee-for-service dentistry. So you don't want to miss this. So do me a favor. If you're listening, like I was just talking to Megan before we went live, you guys, we do all these videos. You never watch them. Okay, so I totally get it, and that's totally cool. Hey, I know you're listening on you know, audios because there's over 140,000 audio downloads. So do me a favor, if you're listening right now on Spotify, just first of all, pull over. Don't do this while you're driving. Just hit the subscribe button. See that little button right there? Because I want you to subscribe because you're going to see every single week, we're going to show up. We're going to bring you a brand new expert in dentistry, somebody to give you some great insight, some great thinking so that you can go back and create a better practice and a better life. And I don't want you to miss out. Also, I get these questions all the time. Like, what the heck do you do? I'm like, I don't even know what I do sometimes. I feel like we're just therapists or teachers in the educational world, but our core business, we're coaches. So I'll tell you, we're practice coaches. So if you're a practice owner and you're thinking, you know what? My team doesn't get along very well. I got two people up front that are fighting. And I don't know, like it's my culture's not that just not that great. Give us a call. That's what we do. Or if you're a little upset that you're writing off 35% for all your PPOs and you don't want to do that anymore, give us a call. That's what we do. Or you just don't want to work crazy hours anymore. Hey, here's a thought. The average dentist in the United States works 209 days per year. How many days do you work? Do you work more or less? And if you want to work less and get a better life and a better practice and a better schedule for everybody on your team, give us a call because life is more important than dentistry. So check us out at actdental.com. Now, one of the heroes during the COVID conference was my friend who I'm going to be introducing here in a second because we didn't know what to do. We just panicked during this whole pandemic thing that seems to be going on forever and ever and ever. And Megan, I didn't really know you. And then I got to know you and you kept showing up and you've been on the podcast before and you're a hero to this community. But I want people to know, who are you? And, you know, you're passionate about a lot of things. This concept in dentistry, entrepreneurs in dentistry. And then today we're going to be talking about the evolution of these things. I want you to talk about who you are and what is Plan Forward before we get into this.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for having me back. It's great to be here. So I am the co-founder and CEO of Plan Forward. I'm a previous dental office employee. So I started as a receptionist and then transferred into the financial coordinator role in a practice. I'm in Indianapolis, so just north of Indianapolis. And I worked in a small private practice, one dentist, four, now five chairs. Awesome practice, but we, you know, dove into this membership plan space very organically to help patients who didn't have insurance. And things just kind of grew, right? It spiraled. There became a need for an organizational tool. And that really is the how Plan Forward specifically was born. It was out of a dental practice north of Indianapolis.
That's so cool. So you've worked all those roles in a dental practice. You can speak knowledgeably about how important this is. Now, I'll go into that in just a second, but I want you to talk about the why too. Like this concept, this is not like a small little concept that's a fad or any. Talk about why this is so important. So if I'm a dentist that's listening, tell me why it's so important what we're going to be talking about today.
This is so important because there are patients sitting in your practice, calling every single day, walking through your doors, who could benefit from this. And they're going to be healthier, happier people and patients for you. Dental insurance is not going away, but the massive population of people who don't have dental insurance is growing. And the frustrations, both on the dentist and the patient side with dealing with insurance companies, is growing. And so it's more restrictive. It's just as expensive. There are so many hurdles. And that's not going away, but there's this massive population of people out there that they need an alternative solution, but your business of the dental practice can really benefit from leveraging a well-constructed, well-organized membership plan. And it can be one patient or it can be 100,000 patients, and it will still benefit your business.
Yeah, it's so interesting because as I talk to people all over the country about this, they're naturally resistant. You know, most dentists subscribe to the seven most expensive words in business, which are, that's the way I've always done it. I don't need that. Why would I want to give discounts away? But what you don't understand is, and I don't have the metrics, and maybe you do, Megan, only half of the public is estimated to go to a dentist. And then of the half that actually goes to a dentist, more than 70% of them, from what I've heard, only go to the dentist because they perceive one thing. They have some type of benefit. It isn't so much insurance. It's that the fact that they've got something that will assist in the payment. Have you found that to be true in your research?
Absolutely. I mean, dental work, dental treatment, whether it's preventive care or restorative care, anything, dental care has the highest cost barrier compared to any other healthcare service. So people, they're just confused. They don't know what they should be paying. They don't know what they're due for. And frankly, if you're uninsured, patients are terrified to walk into your practice because you're going to start recommending things or saying, we need to take x-rays. And they can just hear the cash register like going, and they're like, what is this going to cost me? And that's a terrifying feeling for anyone. So from a psychological standpoint, patients are not walking through your doors if they don't have benefits because they're afraid of the cost. And so membership plans just help alleviate that uncertainty so much.
Right. So let's talk about the evolution of this because, first of all, this is not a new concept. This is not something that just came onto the scene last year during COVID. It's actually been around for a long time, but its importance and its relevance in dentistry keeps increasing, even so much that some DSOs aren't getting the deals that they used to get from some PPOs. And so they're just going rogue and they're doing their own thing. And so tell us about the evolution from your perspective of these plans.
Yeah, it really has evolved. I would say about 10 years ago, 12 years ago, it became a little bit more popular. It certainly wasn't mainstream, but dentists started creating plans to offer to uninsured patients. And these plans were called, you know, savings plan or discount plan or membership plan. So no matter what it was, these terms were used sort of interchangeably. And as time has gone on and, you know, it has evolved and they've become more popular and more mainstream, there are very different plans. There's very distinct differences with each type of plan. And so when I talk to dentists all over the country, they're like, oh, we already have a membership plan. And they explain it to me. And I'm like, that's not a membership plan. That's a discount plan. And so I think it's super important. So like a discount plan, that's where a patient pays, hopefully you, if you're doing a discount plan, hopefully it's at least an in-house discount plan, not a commercial one. But the patient would pay the practice a one-time fee to then essentially get a reduced fee schedule. So they get discounts, but they're paying a la carte every time they come in. So it's you know, valid or you're eligible for 12 months after you pay this one-time fee, and then the patient gets discounts. So that's a discount plan that is benefiting the patient. But what's it really doing for the practice?
Nothing.
And there are a couple of big key things that we want to help patients do. And number one is we want to help motivate them to come back in for their recalls. We need them to come in for their preventive care. And also when they're there, we want them to be receptive to what the dentists are recommending, whether it's they're due for a pano or an FMX, or they really need fluoride, or they should come in for extra cleanings, whatever the case may be. With a discount plan, they're still paying for every single service a la carte. And so there's still that uncertainty from a financial perspective when a patient's on a discount plan and they come into your office.
Yeah, that's really good clarification because I haven't heard it explained that way. But one sounds like Groupon, and the other one sounds like, hey, look, we're trying to retain you. And go a little bit further in that, because Megan, really what you don't, what you're looking for is not necessarily the monthly membership fee or the fee per year. That is a nice recurring revenue or a nice, but it, you're really seeking the retention. And then also speak to this, how much do members spend more than non-members in any account?
Oh, well, in our world, it's over 2x, over two times for membership plans. They spend more than two times what an uninsured or an insured patient spends in a practice.
Crazy.
So, yeah, from a bottom line revenue standpoint, there's no question that these patients are going to opt in more than anyone else.
Right. Right. And so when you're really looking at this now, I also, language matters, you know, so I, you know, I mentioned this before we went live, like, I don't even like the word discount. I don't, I like the word savings. Like that's a, you know, because membership has its benefits. Now you train offices all over the country.
Yeah.
Help us change our mind shift. You're not just trying to get patients and give them discounts. Like we're trying to retain them, get them coming in. And then Here's a common myth. You hear this all the time. Okay, I don't want to give away 10% of all my crowns. Why would I just start giving away 10% of all my crowns? What do you say when they push back on that concept to you?
Oh my gosh. Especially fee for service practices, right? Because they're used to collecting up to their standard fees all the time. And so when you look at the numbers of uninsured patients and their habits when they come into your practice, do a quick audit of uninsured patients, not the ones you know, because they're the ones probably coming in the most, but take like a random sample size and audit how many cleanings are these people getting in a year. And so if they're getting any less than two cleanings in 12 months, you are going to increase your net revenue if they get on a membership plan. And when it comes to treatment acceptance, I guess it's hard to compare. Would that patient have accepted that crown at 10% off if there wasn't the 10% off? It's hard to tell. But when patients are on a membership plan, I know we don't like the word discount. It cheapens our services, all the things, but consumers want to save money. Everybody wants a discount. Everybody wants savings. So if they're opted in and they're on your plan and they're more likely to be receptive to what you're saying, and they know they have a little perk, or you can call it a courtesy. You know, it's a courtesy for being on our plan, and they save 10%, their chances of accepting it literally increase by more than 2x.
Yeah, I actually like your word better than mine. Courtesy is way better than savings. So it does have its benefits.
And even a savings plan. So I have come to define what most people are calling an annual membership plan, where these plans don't auto-renew, you know, they're managing them in-house. A patient pays a one-time annual fee to then be eligible. And, you know, that one-time fee covers the preventive care, which is a better system. So then your patient's not paying, you know, when they come in every single time, but they are paying every other time.
Right.
And when those plans don't auto-renew on the renewal date, there's just such a missed opportunity, not only from a revenue perspective, but there's an administrative burden of manually tracking and someone having to remember to do that. And I talk to people all the time. They're like, oh, we forgot to renew that person. We just gave away the cleaning for free because we forgot they were up for their renewal. So it's just, that's what we've defined as a savings plan. So you have this plan where people pay, they're opting in, but it's still this very manual, tedious process, especially as it grows.
Right. And that's why, you know, your company, you guys do a great job, but you actually take on a lot of that burden at the front, because if you're not careful about this, like I want every fee for service office or every office heading in that direction to have at least 1,000 patients on it eventually. I know what you're saying. You're like, oh, why would I do that? Just get beyond the 50 mark, then get to 100, then get to 300, and you'll go, wow, this is so, but you're going to see, if you don't have someone else administrating all the paperwork and doing this stuff, you're almost going to need a full-time employee, right? To do all of this.
Yeah. You want to make it so simple, not only for your team, but for your patients to enroll, like set it and forget it. That's what you want it to be. So that when that's where the software really is a critical component for making these sustainable over a long period of time. Because what happens if Susie, who's been with you for, you know, 20 years, retires, or somebody goes on vacation, or, you know, has a sick family member and they're out, or whatever the case may be, your plan can sort of crumble and fall apart and lose momentum when you don't have a process in place or a system to manage it for you. So the software is managing the plan, not your team manually.
The Best Practices Show with Kirk Behrendt is brought to you exclusively by ACT Dental, the ultimate provider of dental practice management solutions for dentists and their teams. ACT Dental is committed to helping you build a better practice and a better life. If you're looking to grow your production, motivate your team, get back on track, and create the practice you've always dreamed about, look no further. Give us a call at 800-851-8186 or visit us at actdental.com.
What are some other myths or misconceptions people have when they're trying to differentiate between a membership program and a discount plan? Anything else come to mind?
Oh, gosh. Well, the one thing is, you know, the auto-renew process is very much overlooked. You know, why is that important? And the other thing is reporting. That's one of the biggest things that people don't think about when they start running these plans. Is if you don't know your numbers and you don't know how much revenue, gross revenue and net revenue, and how much you're paying to administer the plan, or how much treatment acceptance you're getting from your membership patients, how do you know if you have to make tweaks or changes, or if it's at a good price point? So one of the biggest things that I talk to dentists about, especially if they already have a plan implemented, I'm like, are you making money on it? And a lot of times they don't know. And so when you have a system and you can just run your reports on how much revenue you've generated or how much treatment acceptance you've had, you know how well this plan is performing for your business.
Yeah. So go a little bit deeper on that. So when you're running a plan on a report on every, you know, these components that are happening in your practice, are you making adjustments? So let's say I have 400 patients and I'm taking a look at what I gave away in order to see what we got. Give us a little idea of the fee balancing on the back side of things.
Yep. So with how you're collecting the revenue, how you're collecting those membership payments, whether they're monthly or yearly, number one, you'd probably want to wait. It's hard to run these reports like monthly or weekly because you're not always collecting at the same time you're providing the service. So I would say once you implement the plan, give it 6 months or so and run your report on how much revenue you've generated. So get in your software. And if the software is as good as it should be, you can run your gross numbers. So you know top line revenue, what you're collecting from your membership plan. Then you know expenses. How much are you paying to administer this plan? Then in your practice management system, when these patients are checking out, create specific adjustment types for preventive and restorative care so that when your membership patients check out for their recall, you're using that specific adjustment type to adjust out 100%. And then when they come in for their crown, you're adjusting out with the membership restorative 10%. So after 6 months, you can run your report. Okay, here's our top line revenue. Here's how much we adjusted out for hygiene. Here's how much we adjusted out for treatment, i.e. treatment acceptance. And then you know how much you're paying or how much you should know how much you're being charged to administer it through your membership software. And there's your four numbers right there.
Yeah, that's a really good point you brought up because most people skip that step to actually create the codes. And so they run they write it off, but it's going under the veil of like Delta Dental or BCBS. And I'm like, no, don't do that because you have no idea how that's all working. Now, you said one thing at the beginning of that, monthly or yearly. Do you have an opinion or does it matter or doesn't matter when people are looking at that with patients?
I think you have to offer both. You are going to have a subset of patients who just don't want anything to do with monthly payments. They would just rather pay in full. They don't really need that. But then you have families and entrepreneurs. I'm a business owner, you know, and I have a family of four. I would much rather cash flow 120 bucks a month than pay whatever that is, 1600 once a year. And so it really depends on the patient. And so when you can offer both simply out of convenience for your patient, they feel like there are options. And so it's, you know, it, they can take their pick.
Absolutely. And when we talk about evolution of this, yeah, what can we expect? It's anyone's guess, but come on, yeah, you're on the inside. You get to see all of this. Let's say I'm a young dentist. What can I expect with membership plans in the future as we look at the next year or 2 years?
I love this question. And, you know, I think these plans started to really serve, they were really created to serve the retiree population, right? Like these people worked their whole lives to get to the golden era, and now they don't have dental insurance. So what do? Okay, we create these plans. Well, now we have the most diverse workforce we've ever had. And the middle and younger generation are actually getting very different benefit packages than maybe the older people in the workforce. So even from employee benefits, younger people are actually preferring, we just did a webinar on this with one of our great friends who's the president of an insurance company. All he does is employee benefits. And younger employees and smaller companies, those employees are really just wanting those dollars allocated to an HSA fund. And so they want to pick and choose where they put those dollars. You know, everybody still wants major medical covered, but when it comes to the other things like dental, vision, some of these other benefits, they would, or gym membership, whatever it is, they're preferring the dollars to be put in an HSA account so they can determine, you know, where they're allocating those. So when you look at membership plans, people have the dollars. It's not an income-based thing. It's just, right, they don't have a commercial plan that's sponsored by the employer. So I think as that trend continues, you're going to see more and more of these pre-tax dollars or even, you know, these accounts or support by employers even reimbursing for things like dental membership plans.
Yeah, I hadn't even thought about the choice side of it as an employer in big business choosing where those dollars might go. That is a great, yeah, thought on that. We actually even had a client who created a wellness program for his team, and it was just, I'll invest in your wellness, and they get to pick. They can do yoga, they can do whatever. Yep. Like
mental health, like all those things.
Yeah. I love that. Love that.
And that's really where things are trending. And right, so for, like you mentioned, younger dentists, if they're listening, you know, having those options and having it already put in place so that it's available when people want it and it's easy to manage no matter who's sitting behind the desk is going to be critical to stay competitive.
Now, another thing that most people don't understand, this is a multifaceted benefit to your practice. Can you just talk about the market? You can actually use this in your marketing, like, or absolutely, as a component. So can you talk about that?
Absolutely. And in the beginning, marketing can be daunting, right? It doesn't have to be this big, elaborate, you know, marketing strategy. But, you know, just get it implemented, get your team comfortable with it, and you can leverage all the free tools out there, i.e. social media, like we were just talking about. You can put it on your social media. Word of mouth works wonderfully. You can go to, I know everybody around these dental practices, they have other small businesses or retirement communities or places where pools of uninsured patients are hanging out regularly. And if you just put a little effort into dropping off a brochure or calling just to make people aware of this, make sure it's on your website, do a little SEO, you know, with your website, your webmaster, you can definitely promote this. Actually, that's one of the biggest requests that we have from clients is, do you help me market the plan? And so we're actually right now collaborating with a specific dental marketing growth platform that does this throughout the whole patient cycle. So they're going to be able to market these membership plans, not only to existing patients, but to prospective patients too.
Yeah. So yeah, you've all heard the phrase, no benefits, no problem, right? You know, come to our office type of a thing. Now think about this. If you are a dental team and you have a patient, you guys hear this all day long. Why can't I? I just thought my husband lost his job or whatever. You can pull this out of your back pocket and go, you know what? we have something. Don't worry, that for patients just like you. And it's our dental benefits program. And Lucy up the front will tell you about it. Also, too, like a big part, if you're listening to this, that you became a dentist was so that you could have the freedom to practice the way you want to. Let's take a step further. Let's say PPOs go crazy in the future, which I'm telling you, they probably will. And now you can say, hey, look, as patients come in and sit in your chair and they go, you know what? This is probably cheaper than my own company's benefits. You can say, what company do you work for? And you can walk over to that employer and go, hey, look, I've got something for your employees. Or better yet, Megan, would you suggest this? Just call the company and go, hey, I could probably save you about $100,000 a year easy on your benefits here, and see if you can get somebody to answer your phone call. I'm pretty sure that they would.
Absolutely. Well, nope. Employers want to check the box that, yes, we provide this package. So it's not necessarily that they are married to the dental, you know, the commercial plans. It's just that checks that dental box. So if you can replace it and save them 50% on premiums, that's a no-brainer.
Right. I love it. Now, we've talked about the evolution of membership programs. Talk about the evolution of dentists that use it. So you could see I got 5,000 patients, I'm all PPO. And we just kind of sliver the membership in there. Like, how do they evolve over time if they're committed to it?
Absolutely. And it does. It starts, you know, some people come out of the gates, you know, and their plans go crazy. But I would say it is just, it's a slow build that over, you know, 3, 6, 12 months, you'll look back and think, oh my gosh, we have how many patients on our plan? Usually dentists are floored, because they really have no idea how many patients are on their plan until they ask the front desk. But then as these people start coming in for their recalls, they're like, the conversation around, you need x-rays, I need to take a PA, you're due for the pano, would you like fluoride? You know, you need a crown, oh, but you're on the plan, so you get a courtesy. You know, those conversations, and the financial coordinator is gonna be so pleased because there isn't the guesswork of how much is this going to cost and can we do, you know, working through all the different options on how to try to get the patient to accept it. With a membership plan, your life becomes so much easier, and it's strictly between the dentist and the patient.
Yeah. Now I could go on and on and on for hours because, hey guys, think about this. You're creating a plan that only has one dentist on it. Guess who it is? You. Guess who the administrator of the plan is? You. Guess who decides the fees? You. Do you think you'll deny your own treatment? Well, you could if you wanted to on your own plan, but that sounds kind of silly. You know what I mean? So it's just a concept that keeps growing and giving and adding to how powerful this profession is.
We had a client, actually, it's one of our mutual clients, call us, and she was just like, we can't get certain patients to fit in the boxes that we created for our membership plan. Can we create a plan like this? And it was either an extra hygiene visit or another perio thing. And we're like, absolutely, no problem. Her client success manager whipped up some new brochures. They popped it in the system. I mean,
wait. You're making your own rules in your own plan? That's crazy talk.
Yeah, I know. It's so liberating. And it's just, if it's not working for you, then you can change it. And that's one of the keys, exactly. Just the independence and the freedom that it gives you to run your business.
Right.
How you know that it should be run, and treat your patients how you know they should be treated.
Right. Now, I'm being a little facetious on that, but it's so true. Like, if you're not paying attention to this, you're just turning your ears off. But I think it's a critically important. Now, Megan, would you agree with this? Most docs, when they find out about this, they come to my seminar, they hear you, or I'm just telling you, you go back to your team, you're going to be met with violent resistance, because you're going to be saying, we're going to put in a membership program, and they're going to be like, oh my gosh, you're putting in an insurance and you've been, you know, cursing insurance for 20. And they're like, no, like, you got to work through the early stages of this so that they know what it is, you know what it is, and your patients know what it is. And I feel like it, you got to get outside for sure the 50 members, then the 100 members. And then something weird happens right around 300. The day you get 300 members in your practice, everybody in your office is like, whoa, just sell it all day long. And every team member I've met at the front that has 300 goes, I sell this all day long. It's the easiest thing I do. Would you agree with that? All that?
I would. And you know what? It's either going to be two ways when a dentist takes this back to the team. The front office is either going to resist, or they are going to be so grateful that you're finally on board, because they are the ones on the front lines answering these awful questions about which dental insurance plan do you recommend? Which one should I buy? I'm retiring, or I'm 26, or whatever the case is. And you give them the most beautiful answer, and you streamline all those discount questions, and you arm them with a great solution that they can believe in that really is a great value for your patient. So they either resist or they're the biggest champions. And so when you can get that, their level of, you know, engagement and commitment to the plan, because they see how much easier it's going to make their own life, that's where it really can be instrumental in changing and really changing the makeup of your practice, especially if you're trying to shift away from some of the PPO dominance.
Amen, sister. Very well said. So, hey, any last thoughts you have on membership plans or just the future of dentistry or the evolution of this concept?
You know, patients want convenience. They want transparency. The more we can give patients easy access to come into your practice. I mean, these plans are not, they don't cost a fortune. It's like $30 a month on average. So it doesn't matter if you don't think you have a whole pool of patients. You know, I'm going to wait until I have, you know, 500 patients that we can market this to. It's never going to start like that. You have to just have it. It's like, if you build it, they will come. Just create the plan, have somebody help you, make sure it's profitable, train your team, have a good system in place, and you'll be off to the races.
Very well said. Now, I know people that are listening on Spotify or Stitcher, they're going to be like, okay, how do I get started? So if I'm a dentist and I'm listening, for the benefit of people that might be listening on Spotify or whatever, Megan, how do I find out? How do I connect with you? How do I find out what you do? How do I get a hold of you?
Well, number one, website. So it's planforward.io. You can email me, mlohman, @planforward.io. You can get on our website, and there's always you can just schedule on our calendar and find the time to connect that works for you. Also, you can follow us on social, @teamplanforward. We're pretty active on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn. We'd love to connect, even if it's just you have questions. Obviously, I'm passionate enough about this to build a company around it. So I'm always happy to have conversations if people have questions.
That's awesome. I'm also going to ask you this leading question. Okay, Megan, I'm so busy. I got patients all day. Please tell me that you're going to help me put it in place. Because if you just send me a box and say, go at it, like, you know what's going to happen. No. The box is never going to get open. It's going to sit on that chair forever. Will you help me put it into play? Because I'm so busy.
This is exactly why we created Plan Forward the way we did. You show up to your pricing call with your standard fees, and we do all the rest. So we make this super painless. It's not a huge time commitment. It's a 1-hour pricing call. You make some decisions and we do the rest. So that's it.
That's all that needs to be said. That's perfect. So Megan, thank you so much for being on. Stick around while we say goodbye to everybody else. So if you're listening, just do me a favor, check it out. Plan Forward. I promise you, they're great people over there. And it's a non-negotiable path to fee-for-service dentistry. You got to do it. Like, don't ignore it. It's here to stay. Your patients need it. You need it. Everybody needs it. And I promise you'll all be healthier. So until we see you guys next time or hear from us next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy the rest of your day. And there you have it. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Best Practices Show. I hope you sure did enjoy it. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to us. We are always here for you. And if you haven't done so already, make sure you subscribe to the show on iTunes or wherever you consume podcasts. And if you really enjoy it, you can leave a comment or a 4 or 5 star review. But until we see you next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show.